It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the magical world of Podketeer. Since it is likely that you can't afford to go to Disneyland anymore, remember that you can always keep yourself from having Disneyland withdrawals by joining us here on Podketeer.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to episode 49 of the Podketeer Podcast. And this one, however, is not being recorded live at the Disneyland Resort. It is being recorded live in my office. So, I'm sorry to say that there isn't a whole bunch of fun Disney sounds behind me, although I've got enough of them recorded that I could put them behind me, I suppose, but didn't do that. What I have on this piece of paper that I am rattling right here is the new Disneyland prices. Now, these are certainly shocking. As I mentioned on the last podcast, apparently my information that they were going to do this twice to us, they're saying this is it for a while, but I'm hoping it is, because this is bad enough. Let's see here. Ages 10 and up. The one-day park hopper pass went from $105 to $125. The one-day one-park pass went from $80 to $87. The one-day park hopper pass for 3 through 9 went from $99 to $119, which means that a three-year-old only pays $6 less than an adult. Now, I'm sorry, but that's just a little bit much. And a one-day one-park for a 3 through 9 year old went from $74 to $81. Now, here's where they killed us. The annual passports. The highest increase was for the Southern California Select, which went from $199 to $269. The regular Southern California went from $169 to $329. The Deluxe Pass went from $379 to $469. And the premium pass, which I own, went from $499 to $649. It's going to be a little over $46 a month for the payment plan, which is pretty pricey. I'm pretty sure that was it. I just saw it for a minute on the website. I mean, it's not going to kill me to pay the extra, and I'm going to do it. You know, this is about my biggest extreme. I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I've been married for 30-some-odd years, so I don't chase women. So this is the extent of my sins here, is the Disneyland pass. So I guess it could be worse. But boy, that is a lot. You know, there's an old story. I don't know if any of you have heard it. I forget where I heard it now, whether it was in the Neil Gabler book or I don't remember where. But that Walt was sitting inside the park, and this is not too long after the park opened, and he happened to see a nun with some underprivileged children, and she was taking them into the park. And that Walt stopped her and asked her, you know, what she was doing. She explained that these were underprivileged kids. And he asked if she had paid her way into the park, and she said that, in fact, that she had. And that he went over to the gate, and he got her money back and gave it to her. And that Walt made a comment that he never wanted the price of Disneyland to be at a point where everybody couldn't afford to go. Now, I have looked to try to document that story, and I have not been able to find any kind of documentation of that story. So it may just be an urban legend. But if it is true, if Walt did make that statement, I can't help but feel that he's rolling over in his grave with the prices that they've currently jacked the prices up to. Now, I know it cost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to build Cars Land. I understand that. And that it cost millions of dollars to refurbish the Matterhorn and to build new ride cars. And I realize that costs a lot of money. And I know $500 is a lot, even at the old price, to pay for an annual passport. But if you think about it, especially during the summer, there is a lot of entertainment there for that price. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to buy the pass. But I'll tell you, they're not doing us any favors at these prices. At $649, they are not giving us a bargain by any stretch of the imagination. Now, something I've noticed, and I don't know if you have, but I've noticed that the quality of talent that they're running at the park has slipped. Now, so far, I know it isn't summer yet, and usually the talent, especially Tomorrowland Terrace, takes an uptick during the summer. They bring in a little bit better quality talent then. But they've been pretty much running house bands on the weekends, and even on the weekends, sometimes they've got the DJ running there. And that was a step to try to save a little money, was how they had the DJ playing because, you know, they got one guy there instead of having to hire a whole band. And the house bands are always cheaper, but they're usually not quite as good as some of the bands they bring in. Oop, I don't know what fell over. Something did. I especially like Scott Bruce. I don't know if any of you have been out there. He's an Elvis impersonator, and I've talked to him about him before, and I've had some of his music on here. He's one of my favorite performers out there at the park. But, you know, you've had people performing there, like the Fab Four have been there, Suburban Legends, which is a band that they've got records out, Alturas. Now, Alturas usually didn't play at, I don't think I've ever seen them at Tomorrowland Terrace, but they used to play inside the park. You can still see them downtown Disney. They play right in front of the ESPN zone. They play South American music, so it's really good. I highly recommend that you look them up. Now, I don't know if they're still going to be there anymore. I haven't been over there and looked in that area since they moved the dance area to that location. I'm going to have to get out there maybe next weekend. Oh, nope, not next weekend. Oh, by the way, Podketeers, this is just a little programming note. There will be no show next week. We're not going away. Nothing has happened to me. But I'm going to be out of town in Las Vegas. Now, I will try to put something together and get it out Friday to cover Sunday's show. But I wouldn't count on it. So if nothing shows up next Sunday or Monday, don't be thinking something happened, because it didn't. And I'll be back with episode 50 the following week. That's why I really don't want to put it out on Friday, because it's the 50th episode, and I'd like to make it nice. So maybe give me 2 weeks to put one together. Although, like I say, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. But maybe I'll try to get a little audio while I'm in Vegas. There's never really not much Disney going on in Vegas, but that's going to be next. Anybody's been to Vegas, or probably any of the casinos, they've got a lot of like monsters and different television shows on slot machines. So I wonder how long it's going to be before we're going to have a Mickey Mouse slot machine. Now that would be the step. That'd be the one that would make Walt roll over, I think, is if they had a Mickey Mouse slot machine. But if they put enough money together, we might see one. All right, Podcateers. I don't have a whole lot of stuff here today. I've kind of put some stuff of archives that I've got here together. And I'm going to play that for you. I've got a little bit, it's kind of interesting, of Walt Disney on the old What's My Line show. To give you a little background to this show, what they used to do is they would have a panel. And these were people at the time were famous people. And I think there were five people in the panel. And they would each get, they would blindfold them. And then they would bring a famous person out. And or somebody who had done something spectacular, climbing Mount Everest or something along those lines. And they would bring them out, and then they would give them some kind of vague clue as to who it was. And then they could ask questions. And for every yes question, they could keep asking questions until they got to a no question. And then they passed it on to the next person. And then there was I forget what the point system was. And once it got to a certain number of points, then the guest won. And they took their blindfolds off and saw who the person was. And as I recall, I believe somebody guessed Walt Disney. But it's kind of interesting to hear him do the voice that he did. He you know, of course, he didn't want to do Mickey Mouse, and then everybody knew who it was. So, but this is kind of cool, and I'm going to play that for you. I'm going to do that. That'll be the first audio clip that I play for you. So, without further ado, on with the show.
With the production end of motion pictures.
Oui, mademoiselle, oui.
Mr. Serge?
I think I know that voice from personal acquaintance. Are you beloved by millions and millions of children?
It's Gulliver.
The answer to that would have to be yes, Bennett.
Can I take a stab? What do
yes,
you,
you can take a stab.
I think it's Walt Disney.
You're right.
I was afraid to use the falsetto because that's the mouse.
That would have given it all away. Well, no, I actually, you did very well. That all those foreign languages and things. You know, Walt is a man of very great courage. Next Tuesday's, I guess it is next Tuesday, Saturday Evening Post is going to come out with an article written about Walt Disney by his daughter. And as far as I know, he's planned to stay in town and even in the country, aren't you?
Well, I think I should leave town.
No, I'm sure it was
a conspiracy on the part of all the women in my family to give the lowdown.
I must say.
And everybody had something to say in it, except there's one female that didn't say a word, and that's my dog.
Your dog didn't say anything. Well, they do say a man's best friend.
Could I ask you a question, Walt? When we had lunch together in Hollywood, you gave me a long list of all the wonderful additions you're going to put into Disneyland this year. Are they coming along?
Well, I completed those. I'm starting on next year.
The chair lift that's going over the hole, is that in? And the Palm Sawyer Island that you tell me about?
I made it. I made it in time for the summer season. Now I'm starting on my next year plans, which...
I'm sorry, Bennett.
I just wanted to say, give a plug to Disneyland. I think it's the most wonderful place for kids and adults I've ever visited in my life.
I just wanted to ask Walt a question. Walt, did you check with the government and see if they needed any money lately?
Oh,
money he put into this place. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Now, I would like, actually, it's no secret that Walt and I have worked basically in another network, but I'm more interested in what you think now about television after 2 or 3 years of exposure. And...
Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You get to reach people in a sort of an immediate way with the pictures. You work for years, and then it's quite a while before you know how what you're working on is going to come out, how it's going to be received. But with television, you know, well, in a very short time.
Do you find it's a burden, Walter, over the other working habits? Or
oh, no. No, I think I found it very stimulating.
Very stimulating.
For the whole staff, everybody, it's been a great stimulus for the whole organization.
That's fine. That's good, mm-hmm. You know, because that makes it sound like Mr. Walt Disney's going to stay in television, which is what I really wanted him to do. Walt, thanks
I think
very
I made
much.
It.
It's glad to have you with us, and nice that you have been our guest. Will you say hello to Bennett?
This is Podketeer.
Hey, Podketeers. I've got a cool little piece of audio. It's a song sung by Thurl Ravenscroft of Grim Grinning Ghosts fame at the Haunted Mansion. And the song's called Twitterpated. And I thought with spring upon us that this was kind of a cute little song to play. So here is Thurl Ravenscroft singing, as I said, Twitterpated.
Everything is Twitterpated in the spring. Skunk smells sweet, rabbits sing, daffodils go daffy when the bluebells ring. The whole wide world's in love. Froggies turn soprano when the birds sing bass. Squirrels go nuts every place. There's a Twitterpated look on every face, 'cause everyone's in love. When you can't control a grin, when your head's inflated, love just socked you on the chin. Pal, you're Twitterpated. Things begin to happen when a boy meets girl, deer meets doe, squirrel meets squirrel. It's a topsy-turvy Twitterpated world when everyone's in love. When a boy meets girl, deer meets doe, squirrel meets squirrel. It's a topsy-turvy Twitterpated world when everyone's in love.
I'd just like to take a moment to again thank my friend Rick Moyer at MoyerMultimedia.com for taking the time to put together the theme song to the Podketeer podcast. If you need any voiceover work, or you need any kind of a theme song or music put together for a presentation or for your company or for a podcast, you look Rick up. He could not be more helpful. His name is Rick Moyer, and the name of his website is MoyerMultimedia.com.
I wanna go park hopping fast, ride dropping, flying through space, mountain sky. Magical dreaming, tower drop screaming, it's a spectacular night. Jungle cruise roaring, Toy Story scoring, electric light parading, my heart soaring. Everyone dancing, fireworks blasting, let's go to Disney summer night dash. Genie wishing, ice cream dishing, laughing, autographing tonight. Move a busting, pixie dusting, soaring high, clean out of sight.
Join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from all us crazy Disney geeks here on Podketeer.
Podketeer, podcasting right on schedule, whenever we damn well feel like it.
All right, I got a couple of more little clips I just got off of YouTube. They're kind of cool. One of them is a little interview that Walt did with Cecil B. DeMille. And he talks about Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And then I just got something off of YouTube that is a little snip of a documentary that NBC did called Walt Disney, The Man and the Myth. And the full hour and a half documentary is available on YouTube. You should watch it. It's really cool. This little clip that I have features Floyd Norman, Mark and Alice Davis, Ollie Johnson, Frank Thomas, Raleigh Crump, John Canemaker, and Bobby Baker, who were all animators and Disney legends. And you should definitely listen to this, and when you get a chance, take a listen to or a look at the whole thing on YouTube, because it's a cool documentary. It's, you know, if you like Walt Disney or Disneyland, you will really like it. Okay, this is going to be it for the show, and when this plays, I'm going to come back and wrap it up.
Tell me, just how old a story is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
Well, it's so old that no one knows when or where it was first told.
Is it true that it wasn't published until the Grimm brothers came along?
Yes, just about 100 years ago. Jacob Grimm was a very learned man, a scientist. You'd hardly think he'd go in for fairy tales. But just as a hobby, he and his brother collected a lot of old folk stories and legends, put them into a book, and called the book Grimm's Fairy Tales.
In their written form, Walt, fairy tales are supposedly only for children. But when you bring one to the screen, it captivates everyone. Age, language, race make no difference. What's the secret?
Well, here's half an answer. Over at our place, we're sure of just one thing. Everybody in the world was once a child. We grow up. Our personalities change. But in every one of us, something remains of our childhood.
You mean that's a common denominator?
That just about sums it up, Mr. DeMille. The same level you speak of knows nothing of sophistication and distinction. It's where all of us are simple and naive, without prejudice and bias. We're friendly and trusting. And it just seems to me that if your picture hits that spot in one person, it's going to hit that same spot in almost everybody. So in planning a new picture, we don't think of grown-ups and we don't think of children, but just of that fine, clean, unspoiled spot down deep in every one of us that maybe the world has made us forget and that maybe our pictures can help recall.
Walt had long since stopped doing animation himself. He guided his creative staff, focusing on story development.
Walt had many faces, and the face he showed his family was entirely different from the face he showed his animators and his artists. There he was a taskmaster, a very stern one. He could be very tough, and he would never praise.
Well, one of his non-traditional techniques was to put two antagonists together. He liked the friction that came with that. He thought something creative would come out of that. He also, if he had a team working together that liked each other too much, he would break them up.
He found it very difficult to say to you, hey, Mark, that's a beautiful job.
He turns to Frank and he says, I hear you got the best scene in the picture.
He would tell other people about you. You never heard it firsthand. It was always secondhand.
He said, I hear you've got the best scene in the picture. Now, that's pretty evasive. That's the closest you'll come to getting a compliment.
That he was just not denying anybody praise. It was just, he thought it was the best way to do it.
He would test you sometimes. I mean, he would test people to see if they really, if they could defend, you know, what they believed in.
He had a marvelous way of making you want to please him. And when you pleased him, you didn't touch ground for a day or two.
And you just feel yourself rise up out of the chair.
Well, he was quite outspoken about anything that he didn't like, particularly when we were what they call sweatbox, where we would run off the day's animation, the roughs.
And they called them sweatboxes because literally you went in and you sweat blood.
And this is the great story of Walt's eyebrow coming down and tapping his fingers on the table. I thought, oh God, I'm in trouble now.
He'd hunch forward in his seat. His eyebrow, very animated eyebrow, would go up and start looking. He'd scowl because he was concentrating so hard. And this was terribly unnerving.
If Walt was looked like he was in a bad humor, the guard would say bear suit. And we all knew that this is not a good day.
One day he would come in and apparently be like a wounded bear, growling and scowling. And yet if he saw something on the storyboard that caught his fancy, he would jump up and become the character and make everybody laugh.
Walt sent artists to classes at the Chouinard Art Institute.
The first thing I did when I got a little money to experiment, I put all my artists back in school. The art schools that existed then didn't quite have enough for what we needed. So we set up our own art school. Now we were dealing in motion, movement, and the flow of movement, the flow of things, you know, action, reaction, all of that.
Well, Podketeers, that wraps up another fun-filled episode of the Podketeer Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed making it for you. So you all have a magical Disney week, and you take good care of yourselves. Enjoy whatever the weather's like in your neck of the woods. And hey, we'll see you at the park, we'll at least try.
Try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Podketeer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse Copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podketeer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.